Hey, everybody. Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
And we are coming to you from our own offices because there was a buzz on Dory's microphone I could not fix.
Hey, these things happen sometimes.
And Dory's like, I just did the record over the... And I was like, okay. I admitted defeat. You know, if it wasn't so late, I would have been like, no, I'll fix this.
I mean
the fun fact, I think I fixed it. I think I fixed it as soon as like you left.
I think I did. You futzed with it for a few minutes.
Yeah, while you were checking in on Henry the 40th time. What did Henry need that time, honey?
He doesn't like to sleep alone.
He has informed us of this.
Several times.
I don't think it didn't help that, you know, Bluey and Bingo don't have to sleep alone.
I know.
So,
anyway. But they're also in big girl beds.
Yeah. And in Brisbane, Australia.
Right. Where, you know, things are upside down. So
great news, everyone. We saw Bluey's big play and Henry stayed for the entire show.
Can you believe it? I can.
Huge news. Like, I've never seen him sit in a place for so long, even though he definitely was touch and go for a little bit.
It was. He was a little squirmy. But, you know, he did stay. And, like, at Disney on Ice, I mean, he was basically, like, throwing a tantrum. Like, we had to just, like, get him out of there. And this was
There was no pre-prep that went into Disney on Ice, really.
We learned our lesson. Matt showed him a bunch of, like, YouTube clips of the show. We talked to him about how long it was going to be. We talked to him about how long we were going to stay.
And, I mean, it worked.
It did work. It worked. He checked each of our watches at least 5 times.
Yeah.
But
because he knew that there was an end point.
Yeah, totally.
Because we had told him 11 o'clock, even though we left at, like, what, 10:53 in the morning. The point is...
Well, yeah, because it's only 45 minutes long.
The Bluey people are making so much money. I can't even fathom it. It's an unfathomable amount of...
Did you look at that link I sent you earlier of all the...
How many shows they're doing?
Yeah. They're doing so many shows.
Look, it's a tale as old as time. The kid live performance thing.
Yeah, there aren't that many kid live performances.
You know, I've always seen like you'll see Raffy singing in a video, and there'll be a bunch of kids in the audience. But it was very funny to me how kids have no filter and don't understand that you don't need to be yelling, "Where's Bluey?"
But you know what? That was kind of nice because I didn't feel like he wasn't the only kid yelling, "Where's Bluey?"
And of course,
so it didn't matter.
I'm talking about all kids. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying all
they
kids
have a thing
kids.
in the first few minutes. They have a thing, I think, to let everyone get to their seats where they're just doing like all this puppetry with birds.
A lot of birds.
So,
puppetry.
Of course, everyone who's already in, all the kids who are already in their seats are like, what is this?
I think it was great. It was a good time, I guess. Yeah.
I thought it was great. I thought the story was lovely. The puppets were actually very cool.
Yes. I think the best puppet was obviously Lucky's dad, Pat.
The only non-healer character.
Yes.
Lucky's dad.
Pat. Lucky's dad is often the only non-healer in the show. There's always
I thought
some
Muffin might show up.
Some shenanigans happening. I think, you know, next year or in 2 years when they retire this play and do another one, we'll see.
We'll see. All right.
But if your kids like Bluey and it's coming to a town near you, which there's a great chance it is, I say take them. It's a hoot and only an hour of your time.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
Wait, what?
Question mark.
You sound
The tickets the tickets were expensive, but I do think it was very sweet and like fun to go to. And and I think Henry did enjoy it, and I'm like proud of him for sitting through the whole thing.
Yes. I agree.
And like I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the play.
I had a good time. I mean, yeah. Henry had a good time. We all had a good time. I was really scrunching down there. You know?
I thought you might be falling asleep at one point.
No, I was just scrunching so the kids and the people behind me could see.
Oh.
No sleep falling.
I was like, is he falling asleep? What's happening?
I was not. I was just like, my neck was starting to hurt a little bit. And I was like, mm-hmm, oh, good God, how long is this going to last? Can this kid see if I scooch up a little bit? Anyway. So that was our today. Henry successfully sat through a live event. Congratulations, yeah. Henry.
Congratulations to us.
When you're 53 years old and your mother and I have long since shuffled off this mortal coil, know that we're proud of you for sitting through 55 minutes of a puppet show.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Right now I hear rain.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. That's going on. Look, you know, we're getting closer to March, where I said I would get a job by then. I'm trying to figure that out still.
How's that going?
It's not great so far. I don't have any huge leads or anything.
Okay.
So I've decided to take up illustrating. Thank you.
I mean, you are a very good artist.
Should that be my job now? Should I just start? I was like, I'm just going to write and draw a children's book.
You should.
And then sell it and then turn it into a show and then make live versions of it featuring puppets with Australian ne'er-do-wells.
So what I'm hearing is that we need to move to Australia.
Yes. Do you think all the puppeteers in Bluey's big play were Australian?
That I do not know.
They all looked Australian to me.
How does someone look Australian?
Everyone from Australia looks not out of place at an REI.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They could be in the board section. They could be in the bike section. But sure. It's not like, you're not like, whoa, what are you doing in this REI?
Mm.
You're a Dorcas Malorcas. You know, you're never saying that about Australians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do Australians have dorks? Do you guys know what nerds are in Australia?
So there was actually an LA Times article about behind Australia. Bluey's, no, like the story of Bluey's big play. So the director is Rosemary Myers, who's also the artistic director of the Adelaide-based Windmill Theatre Company.
Interesting. Adelaide. Wonder where that is.
So it was originally scheduled to premiere in Australia in May 2020.
Oh, wow.
That didn't happen. Yeah. But then it did end up premiering at the end of 2020. And then it came stateside in November. Madison Square Garden.
Oh, MSG, huh? MSG, oh yeah, that's what the Tonight Show appearance is all about. Remember they were promoting that?
Oh, okay.
I showed Henry, we watched a making of documentary today, like a little eight minute, like how they make an episode of Bluey.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a part where the woman that voices Chili is like doing the voice in the booth.
Mm.
And I looked at Henry to see if he was like weirded out by that. But he seemed totally fine.
So here's a quote in this LA Times article that Joe Brum, the creator, says he was once told that a Disney executive said Bluey was the kind of show Walt Disney would have made if he were still around. My question is,
what does that mean?
Why can't Disney make a show like this? You know what I mean? Like, why is some Australian guy
making the show
that Walt Disney would have made?
There's no singular vision. It's a corporate structure now with studio execs and studio heads and various arms, like in the TV arm and the Disney Plus arm, and they all have executives. And then there's no like, I'm Walt Disney. Welcome to Disney. Here's this cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? There's no singular creative freedom.
And there's so much IP.
Yeah.
That everything is just derivative.
Right, yeah. I mean, Night Court, look at that. I mean, I'll say it again. I watched it yesterday.
How was it?
What did I say to Andy? I said it was fucking miserable. It was the least funny thing I've ever seen.
Wow, okay.
And I was I'm surprised that like the laugh track didn't blow up when they were using it.
Because like, it was so
sheer
bad.
Confusing. Like, is this a joke? What are you talking about? Everybody in it is doing a great job. But it's of a different era. It's bizarre.
Interesting. Well,
I feel so bad for John Larroquette.
I think this just means that you need to write your children's book.
I guess so. I will. And hopefully it'll be on Disney. And then I can get a character in the park, you know?
That's the dream.
That is the dream. That's my new dream as of today. Thank you, everybody. Listen, I be successful?
I bought a goal setting journal. It's very interesting to write down your goals. And I don't think there's anything wrong with like setting big goals. So if your goal is really to create a character that is in the park, then that should be your goal.
Do you have to put those at the end of the journal? Like, do you put the big goals at the end?
You put the big goals in the beginning, and then it helps you like break down how exactly you're going to achieve the goals.
I see. All right. Well, you're saying I should get one.
I'm not saying you should get one or you shouldn't get one. I'm just saying
to the people listening.
No, what I'm saying is I think sometimes people have trouble, and I'm including myself in this. People have trouble articulating quote unquote big goals because they're afraid of rejection or they're afraid they're not going to do them. But I think there is something powerful in like speaking your goals into existence, like not to sound too like secret-y, but I do think that there is something to that. Like when you start saying stuff like that, like you believe in yourself and then you kind of try to make it happen in a real way. So like, you know, is it crazy to say I'm going to create a character that will someday be in a Disney park? Like maybe, but also like maybe not.
I mean, I don't think it's crazy. Why are you saying it's crazy?
Okay. It's not crazy.
I've decided it's perfect.
Yeah, it is. I just really forever 35'd you. Okay, let's take a break.
Okay.
And We'll be back with some listeners.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same today, for tennis. Same for tennis, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout.
All right, we are back.
Hi.
Before we get into it, I do just want to remind everyone, you can email the pod at doryandmatt@gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com. You can call or text us at 413-461-BABY. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure. And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/excellentadventure.
That all checks out. That's true.
All right. Going to kick things off with this email from Kelsey, who is addressing a few different topics because she was catching up on some episodes. To the person with an umbilical cord issue wondering about early inductions, I was induced at 36 weeks for preeclampsia. The induction itself went very fast and quickly became a crash C-section, whereas I had been told to expect a multi-day process since it was my first birth and preterm. So be prepared for anything that way. My baby was small for their gestational age, third percentile, but healthy, ate on their own, breathed on their own, etc. from the beginning. They stayed in the NICU for the first 3 days for observation due to everything that was going on and have had no other issues. They're now 2.5 and in the 60th percentile. There is hope. To the person wanting to know how much money to save before having a kid, save enough that both of you can take many weeks off unpaid if needed after the baby is born. Also money for a night nurse. You can get some sleep in the early weeks. To the person with an 8-week-old who has PPD and PPA, I couldn't believe neither of you mentioned therapy. We didn't? That's weird. Postpartum Support International. I know. Postpartum Support International has a directory of therapists trained in postpartum mood disorders, and they have local support groups, some in person and some via Zoom. Please reach out for support. In addition to the medication, it will get better. I'm being one and done. I get asked every single time I meet someone when we're having a second kid. Well, I always wanted two kids, the default. We are not having a second because of many reasons. The biggest one in my mind is that I could not be the parent I want to be if we had more than one. I'm a stay-at-home parent, and it takes all of my patience, emotional reserves, and mental focus to parent this kid the way I want to do it. And I think it would be impossible to do that with more than one. Love the show. Kelsey, 2,100 square feet in the San Francisco Bay Area. Spouse, toddler, and dog. No TVs. No hot dogs.
Thank you for hitting it. That's three different episodes in one email.
That is four different episodes, right? Unless two of these topics were in the same episode and I don't remember, but these are four topics.
Wow, this is unbelievable.
I know. Was this person taking notes as they were listening? I'm curious. This is very interesting. Yeah, this is all good advice. The wanting to know how much money to save before having a kid. This is actually really good advice. Like, yes. Have that money, you know?
Yeah. Especially the saving for a night nurse is, I think, huge.
Yeah. If that's something you can swing, I mean, you should swing it.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be pretty hard to sleep.
Yeah. I mean, and of course, people do it all the time without a night nurse. But again, if it's something you can swing and it's swingable, you should do it.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Hello? What's happening?
What?
Sorry, there was like a second and a half of silence and I got like confused and I thought the connection was bad. I was like, what's happening?
No.
Why are we constantly filling this with silences with words?
Wow. Okay.
This is podcasting. Hello, podcasts. This is how podcasts work.
Oh, boy.
Work.
I love when Matt tries to tell me how podcasts work.
What happened to cereal? What happened to cereal? I'm talking to the audience, not you.
Oh, okay. Matt, would you like to read this next email?
Yes. This is from Crystal. Hi, Dory, Matt, Bo, and Holly. Ooh, Holly's not here this weekend. She's in the Bean Town. She'll be back next week, we hope. Let's see. I just wanted to write and say how helpful the recent discussions and article suggestions of being one and done have been. I wrote in previously a couple of months ago about an undiagnosed placenta accreta. I experienced it by science baby and how I lost over half my volume, blood volume in 20 minutes. My husband and I had always planned on having two children if possible. It took us over 4 years to become pregnant with our science baby daughter through IVF and egg donation. We have three embryos left, and we had originally planned on starting the process trying for baby number two this February, but after speaking with several doctors about the risk of accreta again to both me and the future baby, we've decided to count our blessings that we have one healthy baby and that I lived and not have another. I've really been struggling with this decision, a decision I never wanted to make. The most recent article suggestion from last week's show has been the most helpful, and I've finally been able to come to terms with being one and done. You can see all the positives in having only one child. Thank you to the emailer who shared the article. In regards to that, I feel like every time we watch Bluey, it's like they're secretly sending two kid propaganda at you.
I mean, the live show was really two kid propaganda.
I mean, no, even I think the show is almost always two kid propaganda.
I mean, it kind of works.
Like a sleepy, you know, you'd say go play with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
I can't be like, Henry, go play with your broom.
Well, I mean, you can, but
he won't. Here we go. On a lighter note, I heard Matt mention liking a song from Caspar Baby Pants. I wanted to suggest some of our favorite bops in the house in case you and the listeners weren't aware of these artists. Kids' songs can get annoying very quickly. That's so true. Dory has this playlist. Excuse me while I yawned. This playlist for Henry that is on her phone. And there's this fucking Dora the Explorer version of In the Jungle, or The Lion Sleeps Tonight, rather. It is like shoving ice picks in your ears. It is horrible to listen to. I feel terrible for the voice
actress.
That is
so, you know what? That is so interesting that that is the song that like really gets you. It kills me.
It's the voice actress.
Okay. All right.
I feel bad for her and the false energy she's being prompted to do. At least when it's like Raffy or something like that, you get the impression that he's doing it because he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But then like with this poor woman who voiced Dora the Explorer having to sing The Lion Sleeps Tonight. And then at the end when she's like, we couldn't have sang it without you. I'm like, that's such bull.
It's so funny because there's definitely some other songs on his playlist that I find incredibly annoying. And that one doesn't really bother me.
Oh, I hate it. You really, so, I mean, it's like, I guess, look, it's funny how differently we've taught him to be in the car. Where it's like he has that playlist with you, but with me it's like we're gonna listen to the She and Him mix. The shins will come up, it'll be okay, and he's like, fine. He loves it. All right, anyway, back to the recommendations. The Okie Dokie Brothers are a folky band with great songs that my husband and I find ourselves singing without the baby around. Hope Machine, Bullfrog Opera, and Through the Woods are our faves. On a total opposite end of the spectrum is our other favorite, Secret Agent 23 Skidoo. Make Great Mistakes. Hubby loves the Boba Fett reference in it. I Like Fruit and My Imaginary Friend are also great. Love the pod. Crystal, Louisville, Kentucky. 2,400 square foot. One husband, one science baby, who will be one tomorrow. Wow, congratulations. And one pit bull mix. Still one 82-inch TV in the basement, 47-inch ghost TV in the living room. Ghost TVs. They are funny to me. One Costco hot dog in 2023. Thank you, Crystal.
Wow.
I mean, if you want to add some of these hits to your list, to your Spotify playlist.
I'm taking notes here, Crystal. Thank you. Thank you for these suggestions. I know.
My playlist for this is, I just like couldn't believe that you like broke that barrier at some point. Like whenever it was you started playing the kids' music for him, I was like, what did you do? Because it was never I'm just saying out loud, I'm talking to the audience and you, but like I'm saying, it just never occurred to me that he'd wouldn't be okay with whatever I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he was really young, but could like 2.5 when he was like first talking, I would be like,
yeah,
listening to golf videos on YouTube,
mm-hmm,
while we were driving. And if they like stopped for some reason, he would ask where it went and ask me to put it back on. And then that was when I was like, oh, I see. It's just whatever I'm going to play. That's what he's going to be okay listening to.
Mm.
Luckily.
Well, you know, he also.
Dora the Explorer singing In the Jungle.
He has requested to add songs to my playlist. We now also listen to the Bluey album in the car. He adds songs that he hears at school. Like,
you're getting some great interactions with the kid, but that Dora the Explorer song kills me.
Okay, I'll take it off the playlist. Jeez.
No, you don't have to. He likes it. It's fine.
He doesn't.
To me.
You know what? It's not one of the songs that he's like super into. I just like put it on. It's not
funny. It's funny to hear it.
Okay. All right. Let's hear one more email and then we're going to take a break. It's from Andrea. Hi, Matt and Dory. One and done mom here. I didn't know before having kids how many I wanted. After my daughter was born 14 and a half years ago, I knew within her first few months of life, I did not want another child. I did not love pregnancy. I experienced a rough couple of years of postpartum depression and anxiety, and simply put, I've never craved another child. Fortunately, my husband has also felt the same. Parenting has not been natural for him, and I cannot imagine stretching the parenting years out any longer for him. I feel lucky I did not struggle with this with the decision about having more children. Now that our daughter is 14, I've not regretted this choice, nor has my husband. Our daughter is an amazing, well-adjusted teen who has not been negatively impacted by not having a sibling. While I'm nostalgic about my daughter's younger years, she was a cutie, I've been certain at the end of each stage, i.e. infant, toddler, preschooler, early elementary age, upper elementary age, tween, that I absolutely never, ever again wanted to experience that stage with another child of my own. Wow, I mean, this person is very emphatic about this. Mm-hmm. Every stage had its pros and cons, and it has always felt good to move on and enjoy witnessing our girl growing through her next life stage. Also, we experienced several periods of financial struggles in the last decade due to job layoffs and such, during which it was a relief to only have one child to pay for. I'm incredibly happy to be in my mid-40s, completely free of parenting a younger one, and enjoying my very cool teenager while I simultaneously get to find myself again and explore who I want to be as I complete this decade and enter my next decade with an adult child. So from this mama on the other side of my one and done choice, I can say that it's wonderful over here for me, my husband, and my only child. Everyone should do what feels right without succumbing to outside pressures. But if you're unsure, one and done life is good. Andrea in upstate New York, Catskill Mountains. P.S. I never related to anything more than when Matt said there's no part of my body that says too much cake. Same.
That's true.
And this is a one and done mom and dad of a teen girl with two cats and one dog and 2,000 square feet, one dust collecting small TV. I don't think we've had any hot dogs in 2023.
Well, luckily for you, you got about 11 months and some change to change that total.
You have and time.
Yes. Today is the 29th, correct? 28th. What is today?
The 29th.
Okay. So I'm going into these voicemails because I see that that's next here. And I'm supposed to play those.
But we are going to take a break before you play these voicemails.
Okay, forget it, everybody. You didn't hear
anything. So you can still find them, but you know, we're going to take a break.
No voicemails.
First.
Get out of here, everybody.
All right, we're going to take a break. Be right back.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, we are back, and as promised, we have two voicemails from the same person. Spoiler.
Here we go. Here it is. We're going to go with the one that is called One. Oh, wait. I realized that that won't work unless I do this and then this.
Hi, this is Bonnie. I'm calling in response to the caller who had postpartum anxiety who lives outside of Boston. I'm sorry, I'm blinking on your name. But first, I wanted to say to the caller, hugs. I've been there. I think a lot of us have been there. You are doing the best you can, and we all support you and think you're wonderful. And like Matt said, you're not trapping your husband. As someone who had this experience as well, I wanted to share some suggestions. First one being, the Jewish Children and Family Services, JCFS, has free support groups. They're on Zoom, I think. They have them for different towns, but you can just join any of them. They are really great. They have a trained facilitator. I went to a few. I found them really helpful and supportive. So that's JCFS, and just Google that. And they're free. I should have added that. Also, I know that this might be a heavier lift than you might be able to do right now, but therapy. I saw a therapist for my postpartum anxiety. I actually did it before I had the baby because I had a feeling. I knew myself. I knew my anxiety. And she was really helpful. And there's other therapists who specialize in this and who can remind you that you're doing a great job. And this will pass. I also wanted to suggest the moms groups on Facebook. I'm part of Moms of Camberville, Camber Somerville. You can join us if you want. Like, I mean, it says Camber Somerville, that area, but it feels like a lot of people are members there. But I know there's a Boston Moms group. And I know Revere's closer to that. And I have found them to be very supportive. Very non-judgmental. Like, I can't tell you how many times people posted, oh, I think I need to stop breastfeeding. I feel so bad. And everyone's like, don't feel bad. We support you. We validate you. So from what I've seen, very supportive in the Boston area about this. So I feel like that could help. And like, Dory suggested, any in-person meetups. You know, it's really hard in the winter. It's so gray out. I also had a winter baby. But meeting up in person can really help, and just talking to people who are going through it as well. It really helped with my mental health. And then lastly, I don't know if you have this or not, I'm going to highly recommend white noise machines. Like you, I could hear all the crying whenever he cried. I could hear it like the minute it happened. And so like we threw money at the problem. I think I called before suggesting postpartum doulas. But yeah, postpartum nurse, doula, whatever you can get. But also the white noise machine, just like blast it so you don't hear anything. Put on headphones. Hi, I was just calling with support for the woman who is going through postpartum anxiety. It's always so embarrassing when your call gets cut off. And I'm like, oh no, I talk too much. But anyway, I was saying white noise machine, get it, blast it. Because so you don't hear the crying so you can sleep. It really helped a lot for me, because even when a nurse was there or my husband was watching the baby, I could still hear the crying, and just having that so I couldn't hear it and I could sleep, because I knew the baby was being well taken care of. So I felt like I could let my guard down and sleep. So again, caller, all the hugs for you. And I just, Dory and Matt, I wanted to let you know my 15-month-old is obsessed with Miss Rachel, and so am I. And I first heard of her through you guys, so I always think of you. And we sing all the songs, and I'm just, like, really love her, and I think she's wonderful. And I'm guessing it's too old now for Henry to watch, but it's still really great. All right. Take care. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. You know, it's funny. I was... watching Henry and I this morning. I was going through YouTube and I was like, I flipped down to Miss Rachel, and he goes, yeah, I haven't watched Miss Rachel in a long time. And I was like, yeah, why not? And he's like, I watched Miss Rachel when I was 2. I'm 3 now.
Oh, he's really been into talking about like what things he did when he was 2. Things, you know, like, when did I do XYZ?
We were also watching, we watched one of the Disney vlogs we're watching today, and Tomorrowland. They were in Tomorrow on the People Mover, and he recognized the Tomorrowland Speedway or Autotopia, depending on which coast you're on, but he didn't remember the People Mover. And I was like, bud, we were definitely on the People Mover when we went. And he's like, yeah, but I don't remember that. Can we go back so I can remember it?
That's so funny, because he saw a picture of himself. We once went to the small airport in Van Nuys, because there's this little like viewing area where you can watch the planes and the helicopters take off. There's a picture of him that came up on the digital frame. And he's like, where was that? And I told him, and he's like, I don't remember. How, like, when was that? And I said, well, I don't even think you were 2. He was like, can we go back there? Like, it's like he wants to imprint on his brain, like, all the things that he sees that he doesn't remember.
Right. That's exactly
very funny.
Right.
Well, thank you for those resources, listener. Moms of Camberville.
Yeah,
sounds great.
It's an amazing collection of Cambridge and Somerville. Should always be
All right. We're going to move on to this email from Ramekin Queer, who writes in with an important update. Finally did the last step of the ridiculous donor checklist, including my spouse, who is biologically not part of the process, having to do a blood test. Anyway, the last step was the lawyer's office to sign all the paperwork about what to do with the sperm, if this person or that person does, etc. They weirdly sequestered us from our donor and his partner as though they aren't our good friends that we see at least once per week. But most importantly, the following picture was on the wall of the conference room. Matt, please describe how obscene and large this painting is.
All right, I'm happy to do that. If anybody out there familiar with the meme of Vladimir Putin on a horse? Now, picture that, but the angle is from behind. And instead of pants and no shirt, he's wearing nothing. So It's a nude lady on a painting that I would say is probably on a canvas that is 48 by 48.
I was going to say 4 feet. 4 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
4 by 4. Yeah.
You see a bare butt.
You see a bare ass on a horse and a haircut that would suit a Karen of any age.
You don't see a face.
No face. They're turned away.
Figure's turned away.
No indication of where they might be. They might be riding into the gates of Valhalla. I don't know because the background is completely monochromatic. It's black. It's
okay.
Thank you, Matt. I would describe as a terrible painting.
So Ramekin Queer continues and writes, as we were leaving, my spouse asked the paralegal who the artist is. She did not know who the artist was, but the subject is apparently our lawyer's mother-in-law.
Mm. Cool.
Huh. Also, disability parent hack. Y'all got to start taking these to birthday parties, and they included a link to barf bags. Not a bad idea.
I wish we could share it, but we can't, you know, for obvious reasons. But I painted a pretty good picture.
Yeah, you did.
You know, you of really the did. Picture that is painted.
Of the picture. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
All right. We have time for a couple more emails. I'm going to read this from Jackie. Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Bo. I can't stop thinking about the listener who wrote in about their one remaining healthy embryo and their decision to transfer or not. Your advice was good because if she's having thoughts about it, you don't want life to pass you by and then always wonder what could have been. You don't hear people say, oh, I wish I didn't have that third baby, right? It's usually, I can't imagine life without them. Plus, they typically do strongest embryos first, so this third embryo of theirs might have a lower chance of taking anyways, and if it doesn't work out, it wasn't meant to be. Okay, but this is why I can't stop thinking about it. I have two healthy embryos on ice, and my husband and I are also struggling with the decision. I think when someone goes through infertility issues, then IVF, there's part of us that just wants to have all the babies available to us because we've worked so hard to get there. You've wanted it so bad for so long that you've convinced yourself you would take any and all the babies because at one point you wondered if you would ever have one, especially these ones, as you made them. But similar to this caller, if I hadn't done IVF, I never would be thinking about having another. I have three girls. The thought of four or five kids is a bit much at the moment. Our hands are full. But will I always wonder what could have been? What would those kids be like? We know the embryo gender, so sometimes I find myself thinking about their names and how cute they would be. Listener, you are not alone. Okay, then sometimes I think, well, what if I had 10 embryos left? I wouldn't have all 10 kids just because they're there. So why the pressure because they're two or one? Yikes, editing. Because later on the pod, that guy called in with 10 kids. All the power to him. We're trying to think about balance and quality of life for our family and how much time we have to spend with each of them. As they get older, they need us in different ways, less physical, but more emotional, school help, friends, sports. There's only two parents. We're already outnumbered. Everything gets more complicated. Cars, car seats, travel, meals, even going to people's houses for dinner. Seriously, the things I think about, just sharing in case it helps this listener. Anyways, I think IVF messes with your mind, and I feel for you. I also think a lot of listeners are probably paying those $1,000 annual fees to store eggs forever because they can't decide and are just kicking the can. There's also not a rush. I think you said your youngest is 7 months, so feel free to give yourself some space to decide. This is what I'm currently doing. An age gap might change your mind about how you could handle it, as the older two would be more independent in a few years, and your uterus can carry a baby into your 40s. There are no easy answers. Hopefully you find peace in making your decision and gratitude always that we have these decisions. All the best. Jackie in Hingham, Massachusetts. No hot dogs yet. Husband, 3 kids. P.S. I laughed when Dory suggested you guys keep a TV in case Matt gets COVID again. That's such a Matt and Dory interaction. Thanks for all the laughs.
Do you think that we should get TVs for every room in the house in case other, you know, whoever gets COVID, there's a TV there?
What if
Henry gets it? Should put a TV in his room.
No.
Oh, okay.
And no. Okie dokie. We are going to just listen to one more voicemail.
Yes. I believe I can get that ready for us.
Yep.
The last number is
217. I won't say the rest of the number because I don't want to reveal someone's number, but you'll be able to find
it. All right. Gotcha. Here we go.
Okay.
Oops. Hang on. I have to stop and go back and turn this back on. Here we go again.
Hello. I am calling to respond to the eight. Well, okay. I was going to say egg signal, and then I just realized that means something else on this pod. But about the discussion surrounding bow and chicken that was happening a couple weeks ago due to the egg shortage. So my partner and I have chickens. We have 3 of them. We got them almost 2 years ago. It was actually pretty funny. They had stopped laying eggs, and then like as soon as all the eggs prices spiked, they must have heard the hot goss and they've been laying again because they usually slow down during the winter. You might hear them in the background because I'm meshing up some insulation on their coop right now.
Good chicken.
Anyway, we also have a dog. His name's Augie. He is very similar to Beau, it sounds like, in temperament. And his chickens are his best friends. He loves them so much. When we do puppy play dates, sometimes with other dogs, they will try to like bark at the chickens in their coop, and Augie will like guard the coop and be like, no way, get the heck out of here. These are my feathery friends. And also, he is obsessed with eggs now. Sometimes he doesn't want to come inside, and so we're able to bribe him by showing him a whole egg in his shell. And then when he gets inside, we just crack it and let him eat an egg. And so I think maybe he's made that connection, and that's why he loves his eggs and his friends a lot. So, you know, you could give it a shot. Bo might be a chicken boy as well. Okay, this is Kristen I don't know, 1,400 square feet.
Bo might be a chicken boy.
2 dogs, 2 cats, 3 chickens. Have a wonderful week.
I think that's a beautiful sort of, what would you call that? Fantasizing about what Bo might be like around chickens.
I know. You know, although
I do like different animals who don't usually belong together are coexisting. That's always fun.
Totally. You know, I was saying this to you earlier, but I do think Bo has chilled out, but probably not to the point.
In the morning, yeah.
Yes, probably not to the point where we could get chickens, but like we saw a cat, and like he used to go absolutely nuts when he would see cats, and like he was like looking at it, but he didn't like freak out. It was interesting. It was very interesting.
Well,
I don't know. Just a thought.
He's an elder statesman now, you know.
He is. He really is. He really is, Matt. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? It is the time in the pod where we thank our dear Patreon supporters.
Yes.
And you can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure. We do 2 bonus episodes per month where we get, if you think we get real on these episodes, wait till you hear our Patreon episodes. Oh boy. No holds barred. It's going to be uncensored. Dory and Matt, director's cut.
Okay.
And you also get your name read on the podcast each month. So thank you to the following supporters.
Jesse Labatty.
Julia from Germany.
Justine Adamek.
Katie Davenport.
Kara Holt.
Laura Bennett.
Laura Madge.
Lauren Cephalo.
Lisa Bove.
Lydia.
Mary
Messick.
Mary Myra.
Maud Tremblay.
Melanie Bronbeck.
Nicholas Skidmore.
Pamela Carpenter.
Pat Machewski.
Phoebe Boone.
Rachel O'Connell.
Samantha.
Shauna Mandel.
Susanna Perez.
Zoe Lawrence. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. I was trying to think of Joey Lawrence's catchphrase because I was going to do it.
Okay. We're going to say goodbye now. Okay, bye, everyone.